Look at all these smiling faces today. Some of you I haven't seen in a little while. Good to see you all. Are you all ready to glorify the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. Me too. Me too. Well, you know, we've been talking for 2 weeks. This is our third meeting, our third session together. And so I just want to recap a little bit of what we've talked about so far so that we can build on that, shall we? So our first meeting 2 weeks ago, we talked about our eyes, that we have spiritual eyes and we have natural eyes. And we talked about how in the Garden of Eden, they were looking out of their spiritual eyes, but then their natural eyes opened after they ate the knowledge of good and evil, which put their attention on themselves, making them the center of their world, rather than God and others being the center of their world, thereby realizing they were naked because then they can see themselves. Amen? From there, we moved on, and we talked about that, like in Ephesians, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that we would be able to see into the kingdom of God. Again, we talked in John chapter 3 about the kingdom of God. You have to be born again to see it, and you have to be born from above to enter into it. Thereby, from entering into it, we moved on to pressing into the kingdom of God, that the kingdom of God suffers violence and the violent take it by force. Since the time of John the Baptist, we talked about that John the Baptist was the first one to bring the message of salvation to the world. He was the first one anointed to bring the message, the remission of the sins, that we are now going to be at peace with God, joined back together with God again. Thereby, having that information, now we know the kingdom of God is available to us. Amen? And by the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have complete access in God, and now we have the righteousness of God as our inheritance, as who we are, right? Everything's good between us and God. Then, the following week, we started talking about that the Holy Spirit is our teacher, right? That we're not here on our own to do anything, that we have the Holy Spirit now. And I asked how many show of hands of who's baptized in the Holy Spirit and who's born again, and nearly everyone raised their hand. And now we have this comforter, this teacher, the Spirit of truth, who will never leave us and never forsake us. But what we have to do is start giving our teacher our attention so that our teacher can teach us. He won't teach an absent student. And he can't teach a student who's busy talking and clowning around in class and not taking class seriously, right? We have to be active participants. And I'll just share that a disciple is a disciplined learner. It's a student. And that's who we are now, students of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Are you in agreement with me?
Amen.
Up to this point. So now we're talking about healing school and healing other people. We had a show of hands on how many here are here for healing, and very few people raised their hand for that, but we had a lot of hands raised up for people who wanted to be able to minister healing to other people and actually walk this out. Because I want to share with you that, let's just say, for this conversation we're having today, that the only thing that qualifies you as a Christian, let's just say for this conversation, is the power of God that you manifest while you're on the earth. Okay? Let's just say that's the one. We know who Christians are because they walk in power and get results in the Spirit. If that was the only qualifier, that means that God has to be with you and he has to back you up. Right? And that's what the Bible says. It says that Jesus did mighty works. Why? Because God was with him. Doing the works, right? Didn't Jesus say, it's my Father that does the works? If you don't believe what I say, believe the works that I do, because it's the Father that does those works, right? So now let's just erase everything on the chalkboard that we've learned so far and that we've been taught in church, and let's make this new qualifier. If the power of God's not working through you, do you really believe God? Don't answer me. Don't raise your hands. Don't respond in any way. Don't even look at me. No, I'm kidding. Listen, we need to take it seriously that we really are Christians, just like Christ. Okay? And for this conversation today, let's just say that's the only qualifier to who we know is a Christian or not, because the power of God backs them up. All right? So now that's our new acid test. That's our new baseline for saying who a Christian is. Because the truth of the matter is, everyone in the Bible that we read about in the New Testament, weren't they operating in the power of God? Weren't they? Everything from Paul, Silas, Barnabas, John, Peter. Don't we read about all the people that were operating in all that stuff? All of them. Even Timothy. Everyone. So now we got our new standard. Because now we know we have spiritual eyes and spiritual ears, and our hearts can't be dull anymore. We've got to wake up to who we are in the Spirit. Okay? Thereby, now we have to press in. Now it's back on us again to grow. Right? And it says to do this with a sober mentality, with all vigilance, to deliberately set out to grow in the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen? So, let's go ahead and look at a couple of verses, because today I'm going to title this message, Pressing Into It. Pressing Into the Kingdom. Okay? Because, let me just have a show of hands. How many of you, when you became a Christian, and I know that people have come from different churches all over the place, so please don't say where, but just let's just talk about how we were raised from this point, from when we first knew to where we are today. How many of you came from churches that had power operating in it? Raise your hands. One, two. How many of you came through churches that there wasn't really power operating through it? All the rest of us. Okay? So would it be safe for me to say that we haven't been modeled, we haven't been shown how to really walk in the true power and anointing that the Bible clearly says we're entitled to and that we've been given? Is that safe to say? Okay, so since it hasn't been modeled to us, we are going to have to exert more energy than someone that was mentored or discipled from the very beginning. I just want to let you know that. We're going to have to take more diligence and more discipline for this stuff to happen. Let me ask another question. How many of you thought that just because you got born again or baptized in the Holy Spirit, that automatically you were going to start getting spiritual results in your life? Yeah. I did. I thought automatically it would just start happening. How many of you were let down to some degree when that didn't happen? I was. And it made me vacillate a little bit on how I'm doing in the Spirit and what's wrong with me and all those kinds of things. Where just like in the Garden of Eden, I put myself in the center of the equation again. And I started evaluating myself, whether there was something wrong with me, whether I didn't believe, whether I had real faith or not, if I had too much unbelief in my heart, there was all, if I was even usable by God. All these things I wrestled with. Well, I want to let you know that I have, like an experiment, set out to learn something. And this is what I've learned, that the power of God is 100% operating in every single one of us. It's just not accessible all the time in this worldly way of thinking. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
Have any of you ever... All right. I just said that to the Lord, just by the way. Have any of you ever had money and you stashed the money and then forgot where you put it?
Oh, yeah. I have.
I'll tell the story of my buck knife. I have this buck knife. Please don't judge me, anyone. I have this buck knife. And I love this knife. It's just so cool and deadly looking, you know? And I've had it for easily 30 years. And this knife, I just love it. You know how much I use it? This much? You know what it does? It sits on the shelf next to other things that I have on the shelf. And it just sits there. Will I ever sell it? No. Because it's valuable to me. But let me tell you the story of this thing. I had it, and I put it under the seat of one of my vehicles once. And just in case I was camping and I needed it, you know, something like that. And I'd had it under my seat, and I had it under the seat for years. And I sold that car. Okay? Well, because I didn't use the knife that much, but my heart was locked into it and I loved it, one day I was driving my new vehicle, and I thought about the knife in the old vehicle. And I went and I reached under the seat of the new vehicle thinking maybe I put it under there, and it wasn't there. And I started having dreams where I was missing this knife all of a sudden, you know. It was like, I really wanted it, but it was gone. It was hopeless. It was gone. I'd lost touch with it. So this is what I did. I prayed. I go, Lord, there's two things in my life that I used to have that I wish I could have back again. One was a Z28 Camaro. I loved it, and I would have loved it back again. I would never buy one now, but I just liked that one. And that knife that I had, I go, gosh, if there was any way, you know, I'd sure love either one of those things back again. And I went on my way. Do you know what? A few years later, which was probably about, 10 years ago now, a few years later, I was washing out that car, getting ready to sell that car. And as I'm getting ready to sell it, I'm vacuuming it out, cleaning the coins out of the cracks of the seat, and I look up under the seat, but I look way up under the seat this time, and guess what was tucked up under that seat? Knife. That knife that I loved so much. It was back again. I can't even tell you how elated I was over something so silly as that. You know why? Because I lost it, and then I found it. And it had value to me. Do I use that knife? No. I wish I did. I wish I'd strap it on my hip and walk around, but it's like this long, and it's just not practical, you know? But I love it. Here's the thing about spiritual gifts, if I can jump over to the other side. Even though we may not think we have it, we do. We do. It's just lost to us. It eludes us. It's out there somewhere. And I want you to know something. If we are waiting on God to show himself mighty through us, without us pressing in, we may wait a long time and think that God's not doing what we believed he should have been doing all along. Amen? So let's move on now. So here's Jesus. Jesus has walked with his disciples. He's talked with his disciples. And let's just look real quick in our Bibles. And where was that at, Lord? I think it was in Mark. Yeah, let's go to Matthew 17, 21 and 22. Matthew 17, 21 and 22. Okay? And this is a boy that was demon-possessed, right? We know the story. He'd be thrown into the fire back and forth, and his father prayed for him. In another gospel, his father said, he says, I believe, help my unbelief, right? He wanted to be able to be successful praying and being able to glorify God. So let's look in this verse right here. Verse 20 of Matthew 17. And Jesus said to them, he's talking to his disciples, because of your unbelief, for surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here or to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Amen? What I want to show you here is not whether it's the demon doesn't go out by prayer or fasting, or whether it's the unbelief that goes out by prayer and fasting. Let's not focus on that. Enough people have taught on that. Let's focus on this. Unless you are willing to exert the energy to pray and to fast until you can get the results you're looking for, you won't get that results. Are you hearing me? That's just one example. You have to press in to get the results you want. So I'll ask you this question. Where's your attention at? Don't answer me. Think. What do you think on during the day? Where do your thoughts fall to when you're not regulating them deliberately? Where do they naturally rest when you're not actively making them be focused on something else? Is it the kingdom of God? Is it manifesting the things of God? Or is it something else? If it's something else, we're going to have to take time to redirect and press in to the new way we want to go so that it becomes our new normal. Are you with me? When we do that, we'll start getting consistent results. Consistent results. Let me ask you if you can agree with me on this. Are you born again? Filled with the Holy Spirit? Sons and daughters of God? Sons and daughters of the kingdom? Ambassadors of Christ? Citizens of heaven? Children of God? Anointed by His Spirit? Are you all these things? Amen. Are there spiritual gifts residing inside of you?
Amen.
Then, that should be our focus. That should be our identity, and that should be the primary position of who we are in this world.
Amen.
The primary. Here's what happened to me. I can say all those words, and at some level I know they're true, but when I'm living in my day and I'm in the frustration of the pit, I, for some reason, used to think that God out there needed to come and help me in this situation. God out there had to answer my prayers. That the very thing that I said I was, I voided by the way that I laid hold of things. Are you with me? So I would say I'm these things. I'm anointed. I'm a son of God. I'm a citizen of heaven. I have power. I have the Holy Spirit. I have all these things. And I acknowledge what Jesus gave to me and did for me. But then when it comes to my situation, it's like, now I'm nothing and God has to do it. Are you with me? Something changed in my life. I did this experiment and I'm still doing this experiment. And I invite you to join me in a scientific experiment. How many of you all have ever had an experiment? You ever tried something like, say, you put a seed in the ground to see if it would grow. You watered it and you did an experiment to see if this plant would do well in your life or whatever the case may be. I can think of a thousand of them, but we all have done some experiments. Here's my experiment. If everything the Bible says that I'm able to do, how do I be able to do it? Instead of rolling it off onto God, if He made a promise that I'm one with Him, that He would never leave me, never forsake me, I need to decide to believe that. So I need to remove anything in my heart that says that's not true. Anything that makes me feel like I'm alone, I have to decide to get rid of it. So you know what I started doing? Talking to myself. But I didn't just talk to me. I talked to God in me, as me. Can you hear what I'm saying right now? I talk to God in me, as me. If we're really one, that means there's no two, right? This is important, you guys. If we're really one, then there's no two. How many of us are one with God?
Amen.
Then there's no two. The Bible says there's three, but they're one, right? I don't know how that all works, but I know a lot of you men in this room and a lot of you ladies in this room are three. I'll prove it to you. Are you ready? Some of you are children. Some of you are parents. Some of you are grandparents. And some of you are all three. So there you go, a great grandparent. So at some point you are addressed as a grandparent and you relate to yourself as a grandparent. At some point you're a parent and you relate to yourself as a parent. And at some point you're the child and you relate to yourself as the child. But you're three, but yet you're one. Are you confused about that? Are you at all confused about who you are in that area? No, why? Because it's who you are. You're used to it. You grew up into it. It was in you. God's the same way. He's three, but He's one. And he's not confused in it in any way, shape, or form. And now he's added us to him in Christ Jesus. So we are all one in Christ, right? So then, why should I think he's separate than me? I'm not talking about the unregenerate, selfish person. I'm talking about this guy that lives to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So therefore, in my experiment, I have started praying for people as though I don't need any permission from God, because I already have it. I'm praying for people as though the devil has already been defeated and he has no right, no matter how serious it seems to be, he has no right to do that to people. Right? This is my experiment. I'm setting out. This is my experiment. When I pray for people now, I do not allow myself to have an opinion about it. I don't allow myself to have an opinion. I do not have the right to have an opinion because I'm dead. And in the Garden of Eden, before they ate of the fruit, guess what? They never had a thought for themselves. They never noticed themselves. They noticed the other and God. So it gets back to this. When I pray for people, it has nothing to do with me. The Bible says I'm complete in him. Either that's true or it's not, right? Either it's true or it's not. So I'm not allowed to look at myself in this equation anymore. Listen, I'll give you an example. And, you know, we all have stories from years gone by. But I'll give you one from yesterday. My wife has this problem. It started bothering her, some sciatic nerve problem. How many of you have had that kind of problem before? It really hurts, doesn't it? You just can't get comfortable anywhere. I mean, you lay down, you stand up, you move around. You know what? There's only one thing that you want to do when that happens. Cry. Just cry. Because medicines don't take the pain away. Nothing. It's there, you know? And she was at home yesterday, and she's laying on the bed as I got home from last night's teaching, which was excellent, by the way. And I got home, and she's there, and she's trying so hard to be sweet to me, but I can see the pain in her eyes, you know. I can see it. And she says, Robert, I really want to hear about your day, but can you just pray for me right now? And I said, okay. Do you know at that moment, there was nothing in me that felt like praying. Nothing. I wanted to go eat dinner. I wanted to go do my stuff because I just got home. It's 9 o'clock at night. I didn't feel anointed, nothing, okay? And the slightest little vocabulary started rising up in me. Oh, yeah, boy, the stuff started bubbling up just so subtly about me. And you know what? I just went wham. I didn't even think. I didn't even talk to myself. I didn't even make a correction. I put my hand right on her right then. And I told the pain to leave her body now in the name of Jesus. Soon as those words came out of my mouth, that little voice inside of me that was kind of iffy went completely away. And this strength rose up inside of me. And this confidence and this power rose up inside of me. I didn't even try to get it. It just happened. All of a sudden, and I'm not saying that feelings lead, but sometimes we notice them as a byproduct, right? It's like signs and wonders follow those who believe, right? We don't chase signs and wonders, they follow us. Well, what followed me was all of a sudden my hand just turned red. I mean, I could see the total difference in my two hands. I go, wow, sweetheart, one hand's super red, the other one's not. And I felt these like bumps going out of my hand and this tingling just pouring out of my hand. I go, do you feel that? She goes, I sure do. Don't take your hand off of me. I says, the pain's leaving. The pain's leaving right now. The pain's totally leaving. Don't take your hands off of me. And just kept it on there. And sure enough, it totally left. She says, move it over to this other part of my back. Believe God that the metal's going to melt out of my back. I don't want this stuff in my back anymore. She had surgery and has this thing in there. Okay? I didn't feel like it. I wasn't there, but here's my experiment. Here's my experiment that I'm doing. I'm going to choose to believe I'm exactly who God says I am. I'm going to choose to believe that He really is the author and the finisher of my faith. I'm going to really just believe that He gave me the power over the devil, and I don't have to ask for permission anymore to get rid of any of the works of the devil. I'm just going to believe Him that if I lay hands on sick people, they recover. I'm just going to believe Him for it. That's my experiment. Let me tell you, when I used to pray for people, nothing would happen. Nothing would happen. Because I was in the way worrying about it. I was in the way thinking I had something to do it. Or you know what I did? I would be testing, oh Lord, when are you going to do it? I'm just going to believe by faith that you're doing it. You know what I was actually saying? It didn't work, but maybe it'll work later. That's what was going on inside of me. The light had to go on. Wait a minute. I'm a son of God. I really am who Jesus says I am. I really can do what He says I can do. And I really need to groom that person and press into it. So you know what I do now? I pray for every single person that will let me pray for them. And you know what? I don't see 100% results. There's some days I'll go a week and not see anybody cured. There's some days I don't see anybody cured and they come back to me an hour later, or call me or text me and goes, it's completely gone. I stop looking at myself as to whether I have anything to do with whether it works or not. Take myself out of the equation. Are you with me? Okay. We all have to do the same thing. I want you to look at a couple of scriptures. You know, the Bible says that imitation is the greatest form of flattery, isn't it? And I've spoken before, it may have been you or another group, about how like Pastor Trey's son dresses up just like he does on Sunday, you know, and walks right over to me every week without fail in front of me, all spiffed out, you know, waiting for me to acknowledge him. Waiting. And I do. And he snubs me every time. Every time. It's like his job. Yeah, Pastor? Oh, he said we're working on that. But anyway, it's all he needs to do is to be affirmed that he's just like his dad. You know that? And that's all he's looking for is that acknowledgement from me. And he gets it. Praise God. And I can see his self-esteem being so nurtured in those moments. That is flattering to Pastor Trey that his son desires to imitate him. Well, let's look at a couple of scriptures. 1 Corinthians 11:1. Are you there? Starts right off by, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. This is a New King James Version. I want you to know that some of the other versions have the word follow. Follow me as I follow Christ. That word follow actually translates to imitate. That's all it is, to imitate. And what's imitation? Huh? It's a compliment. It's copy. It's a copy. An imitation is a copy. Sometimes we have the idea that an imitation is less than what it's imitating. But in this case, it's not. We need to deliberately decide to imitate God. We imitate Christ. And we imitate Paul as he follows Christ. Amen? That's what we need to do. Look in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6. I'm going to be starting in verse 9. We're going to focus on 11 and 12. 9 through 12. Are you with me? Hebrews 9. So now, Mitten, I know exactly what it's like when the TV's not on. I feel your pain. So here it is. Hebrews 9, or chapter 6, verse 9. But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation. Though we speak in this manner, for God is not unjust to forget your works and labors of love, which you have shown towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that really a compliment? He's really saying that, you know, God's not going to forget how much you minister to people and how much you love people. That is really a great compliment. But look what he says right after that. In verse 11, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Through faith and patience inherit the promise. So through believing God and consistently going after it, you get the results of the promise of God. Amen? Consistently going after it, you'll get the results of the promise of God. Let's look at this in Corinthians. Let's tie this to Corinthians. Now, these people were already ministering, right? But he's talking about that we imitate those who are faithful and diligent to press in to what's been promised to them and not giving up on it. So look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I think. Let me get over there and we'll see. Back and forth we go. Let's talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit for just one quick moment. Are you with me? Can I read a lot? Is that okay with you guys? Let's go ahead and read 12:1 through 11. Shall I begin? Now, concerning spiritual gifts, or we're just going to say spirituals is all it says, which is pneumaticos, which is non-carnal things. In other words, not concerning the feeling realm, not concerning your five senses or your emotions. We are strictly talking about spiritual, non-carnal things. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but the same God who works all in all. Let me show you how that works. God decides what needs to be done. The Father decides what needs to be done. Jesus decides the components that need to be done in it. And the Holy Spirit. Okay, so then that's how it works. God the Father has a big picture. Jesus decides the components that need to be done in it, and then the Holy Spirit empowers the individuals to get that work done, okay? That's what it's saying here. Now, to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the working of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to others, discerning of spirits, to another, different kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. So there's a lot of different spiritual gifts, right? One of which is healing, right? And it's the Holy Spirit who decides all of that, isn't it? Let's look at this. Verse 11, but one and the same Spirit works all these things. The Holy Spirit is the one that does all of them. Distributing to each one individually what? Just as he wills. Doesn't that kind of give us ground to saying, well, if the Holy Spirit isn't into it, then I can't expect it to happen. Doesn't that kind of make it feel like if the Holy Spirit's not the one wanting it to happen, then what could I really do about it, right? But let's look at it a different way. He decides who he's going to manifest through in what way. Doesn't he do that? How does that work? How does that work? Because don't we want all the Holy Spirit operating through all of us? Here's how it works. Whatever you decide that you want to manifest in the kingdom of God is going to be what you are going to press into. Whatever you decide that you want to manifest of the kingdom of God is what you are going to press into. How many of you want to operate in healing? How many of you want to operate in miracles? How many of you want to operate in words of knowledge, knowing things about people that they never told you? How many of you want to operate in words of wisdom? That revelation by the Holy Spirit on how to deal with things, right? How many of you want to be able to prophesy? Wow, it sounds like you guys want to do a lot of the things of the Holy Spirit. How many of you want to speak out loud in the church in tongues and then have an interpretation or interpret? You notice that a lot less hands went up on that one? I want to use that as a jump-off point to explain something to you. Why did less hands, and those of you that raised your hands, this probably doesn't apply to you, but those of you that didn't raise your hands to that one, but you raised your hands to a lot of other ones, why did your hand not go up? It's kind of weird. How about this one? This is one that you do right in front of everybody else. And the proof is in the pudding right at that moment. Right? That means you have to be able to hear from God and be able to invade the atmosphere of what's ever going on, being obedient to the Holy Spirit, and then giving the interpretation of that word that you gave, or if you were at a place where you don't believe you're supposed to have the interpretation, that you know somebody else absolutely has it and can give it. Okay? That's a rubber meets the road gift. It's one right in front of everybody. What makes you think if you aren't going to be able to press into that one that you're going to be able to do miracles? You know why? Because miracles is one that I can do all by myself over here. And then when God decides it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Speaking in tongues out loud in front of the whole group, it's like, whoa, check me out. It's scary. But it's the same Spirit that does it all, doesn't it? So what we have to do is, like we talked last week, really pay attention to our teacher. What is our teacher telling us to do? As he walks with us, in us, as us, what is the unction that rises up inside of us? What is the compassion that rises up inside of us? What is that love desire that rises up inside of us for the kingdom of God to be manifest in the people that we love around us? Gifts are not for us. They're for other people. When we pray for healing, it's not about us. It's about them. And if we will trust that the Holy Spirit will actually tell us what's going on, we will be zeroed right into it. If we actually believe he's the Spirit of truth, he'll tell us the truth, right? He won't mislead us. He will tell us the truth. He says he will show us things. We'll really get to see in our spiritual eyes what's going on, right? How many of y'all have spiritual eyes? Okay. In your spiritual eyes, what do you look at? Who raised their hand that said they had spiritual eyes? Somebody tell me what you look at. What do you look at? She says in her spiritual eyes, when she's using her spiritual eyes, she's seeing what God is revealing to her about the other person. Can you guys say the same thing? So the way you see through your spiritual eyes is through pictures, right? Not through physical things. Although, let me just tell you, sometimes physical things actually manifest and it looks like your natural eyes. People see angels, right? People see demons. Spirits. People see spirits. You know that? That's opening those eyes, right? That's not always how it happens, though, right? Sometimes it's just the pictures in our hearts, right? But we have to practice seeing the pictures. Are you with me? Amen. How do you press in to do that? We're talking about pressing into the kingdom of God. Because we want to see more results in healing, right? And not one feel like it's not working through us or that we haven't got it somehow. And two, not thinking that God's not caring about that other person, right? We want to really see it. So here's what I want to share. The Holy Spirit gives you whatever you need in the Spirit when He knows you're serious. When He knows you're serious, He'll give it to you. But not unless you're serious. Now, I'm not saying serious in this one situation. I'm talking about you're going to live for all eternity, right? So what is it that you want to proclaim? What is it you want to bring forth from the kingdom of God in your existence on this earth? Is it healings? If it is, you need to press in. You need to see yourself healing people. Is it okay to say, I see myself healing people? Yes, and it's also okay to say, I see God healing people through me when I pray for them. That's okay too. As long as you start seeing with your spiritual eyes what's going on. You have to groom it. You have to decide to do that. Here's one thing. I started practicing this way. I'd get next to somebody and I wouldn't tell anybody. This was my secret test, my experiment. I'd get next to somebody and I'd see, what pictures do I see when I stand next to that person? You say, Lord, show me something. And I just start seeing pictures. And I go, Lord, what does that mean? Until I got the idea. Then I'd pray for him and go, hey, you know, I'm just checking it out. What do you think about blah, 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 blah? Yes or no? And all I want to know is yes or no. Yes. Okay, thanks. And I go find somebody else and I go stand next to them. As I'm going through my day, as I'm grocery shopping, I'll just be praying in tongues quietly going down the aisles, going, Lord, show me something about this person. Showing something about this person. Or tell me something about this person. I'm practicing seeing out of my spiritual eyes and hearing in my spiritual ears and having my heart sensitive to the things of God. Are you with me? Pastor Trey? He says, now nobody's going to be comfortable if I come and stand next to them, knowing that I asked the Lord to show me things about people. But let me ask you this. I'm not the only one. How many of you guys do that kind of stuff? Right? As you've started practicing that, do you feel like you're a little better than when you first started? Absolutely. Do you know you can be really good at it so that you don't even have to think about it? When I was a child, tying my shoe was very difficult. It was very difficult for me. I mean, it's a whole knot. It's two whole ends of a string. And you got to wrap them around in this special magical way to make them stay there, you know? Because otherwise they fall right apart in three or four steps. But I had help. I had someone that did it for me, and then I copied them. Did it, and then there was someone, no, I got it. And I didn't have it. I thought I was more than I didn't have it. But you know what? I have solved that problem now. Do you know what? I wear slip-on shoes. No, I learned how to tie a shoe. And here's the thing. The same with each one of us. As we press into the things of God, we will start seeing it more and more in our own lives. Are you with me? But you have to set out to do it. How many of you, when you first started praying in tongues, were a little bit embarrassed to pray in front of other people? A little bit. Because you know what? It sounds kind of weird, and you don't know what other people are going to think, you know? But how many of you stuck with it, and now you have a fully developed prayer language? Amen. See, because you stuck with it, didn't you? It was a little clunky at first, but you stuck with it. I promise you, the Holy Spirit will absolutely pour out on you whatever you are willing to press into. He will. Whatever He can trust you with, He'll give to you. In other words, when we really decide who we are we sons and daughters of God? Do we have authority over the devil? Is he already defeated? Do signs and wonders follow us?
Amen.
Yes, they do. Is the Holy Spirit with us?
Oh, yeah.
Is the Holy Spirit God?
Yeah.
So God does miracles?
Yeah.
And he can do them through me and you, right? So the whole enemy, as Pastor Trey's been teaching on Sundays, is this thing right here, right? You know, Pastor Trey said this last night, and I'm just going to share, the Lord told me this a few months ago about Donald Trump. It's just an example. I'm just using him. I was working at a place where the people are impoverished, and they've got lots of anger in their lives. And I was working there, and it was very difficult to be around that ignorant mindset. It's just, it's very, very destructive. And it's based in fear and lack, and that's what causes that thing. Very, very little ambition to really excel in their life. Okay? They're on welfare. And I said to the Lord, I go, Lord, I wish to be able to help them get their thinking up so that they can get better results in their life. And you know what he said? He says, I desire that you get your thinking up so that you get better results in your life. And I said, what? And he reminded me of Donald Trump. Do you know that guy, against all the odds, had a can-do spirit? He fell apart so many times and went bankrupt and just kept doing it. And kept doing it until he got somebody to believe in him enough that he got a good-sized $1 million loan. And from then on, bang, he just kept doing it and kept doing it and kept doing it. Do you know he does not have the problems that I have? And this was before he was president. The Lord was telling me this. So he wasn't even president yet when the Lord used him as my example. That guy doesn't have the same problems that I have. He has different problems for where he's at. And you know, God said that his ways and his thoughts are even higher than Donald Trump's, right? Or any other great minister that's been in this world or person in this world. So the limiting factor is how we think about it, right? So here's the secret key. You want the golden key to the whole thing? Take our thoughts out of the equation. Completely set them aside. And just do what this says. Just do what this says. Whether it works or not, just do what this says. And all of a sudden, something will change inside of you. And when you start confessing what the Bible says, or profession, that word's homologia, and I'll close with this, that word is homologia. It's saying the same as the word. When you say the same thing God says, when you say the same thing that God says, you'll get God's results. And if it doesn't work the first time, maybe it'll work the second time or the third time. You know what? I've been using this example lately, and maybe I told you, Todd White, with him praying for people. It was in the 90s, you know, like 96, 97, 98 people before he got any results. And he purposed in his heart to do about 10 people a day, somewhere between 9 and 12 people a day, until he can get the results. And I was thinking, wow, that's a lot of people. This morning, you know what dawned on me? That's only 10 days of praying for people. If he was praying for 10 people a day, that's only 10 days of praying for people. That's less than 2 weeks until he started really getting some serious results. I know other people that took 2 years because they were missing a part of the puzzle. Once they got that part of the puzzle, it clicked for them and they were on their way. What part of the puzzle are you missing? You need to figure that part out so we can excel and get on our way with it. Amen?